Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning for this biblical study time from the Crockett Church of Christ. We're located 7 miles just west of Senatobia, Mississippi, on Highway 4, going toward the Tunica side. We invite you to our services at 9:30 for classes this morning and 10:30 for the preaching service itself and 6 o'clock this evening for the night service this evening. Thank you for joining us with our period study today. You know, over the last several weeks of time, we've emphasized certain topics again and again, and we've gone to various verses of the Bible to illustrate those particular points that Jesus and the apostles have made. And in regard to that matter, we talked about the grace of God and how wonderful the grace of God stands in the New Testament of the Bible. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12 tells us, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." You'll notice in this particular passage of Scripture the emphasis on the grace of God that brings salvation to all men. Apparently by that time, Paul was reassured that the message had gone to everybody in the known world at that time, as they had preached the Word of God and preached about Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God. And we went on to talk about the resurrection of Jesus and how that was so important to the whole case of redemption and forgiveness of sins, and how that the Father looked at that. And in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he says the following in the verse 17 of John 3. "The Father sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life." You'll notice regarding the matter of Jesus coming and shedding his blood for the remission of our sins. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, emphasis is given to that idea, that he shed his blood for the remission of our sins, and that we'd thank God that we have been allowed to be a part of that relationship with him. Paul wrote to the brethren at Rome in regard to their situation, and he said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein?" In Romans chapter 6, he tells us that that's not the possible way of conversion. When we were converted to the Lord, we converted on the basis that we were free from those sins, free from the temptations to those sins, free from doing the deeds of those sins. And that's the promise that the Lord had made to you and for me as well. What a blessing it is to have that blessing in our life. We also emphasize the place of faith in our lives and how important it is for us to believe, as we should, as we believe in him and believe what he's promised and believe that his teaching will offer to you and me pardon of our sins, and how that we can live for the Lord from day to day. The idea of it is true and accurate and good, and we see that very plainly as John wrote regarding that matter, regarding the forgiveness of God and how that he offers that hope for the soul for you and for me. Going once again to the writing of John in 1 John chapter 1, reference is made to this very point that I want to make for the remainder of our broadcast this morning. He says in 1 John 1 and down at verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Notice that Jesus here has been represented as of John by the right things of the Lord. And he is saying here, as John writes, we know him and we've heard him and we testify that this is true. Listen once again to the passage of 1 John 1 and verse 3. "That which we have seen and have heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What did he want them to have? He wanted them to have reassurance again and again as they read the sacred scripture that he was writing, that they knew the things of the Father and they knew the things of the Son, and they have a fellowship with both the Father and the Son because they are doing those things that are said. He said in verses 1 and 2 of 1 John 1, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Notice the connection that John here has regarding what's true and what's accurate. And the truth of God's Word and the truth of the Son of God are the same. And as the Son of God came revealing the Father's will, the Father's teaching, the Father's guidance was with him as he did so. He goes on to say in 1 John 1 and at verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want you to observe that how we get into Christ Jesus, we're already there. We're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And that's what Paul was writing about in Romans 6, that we are first died to sin. We don't live any longer therein. As a result of that, we now live in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. And here's what he's talking about in 1 John 1. The idea of the fellowship with the Father and the Son. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where are we now? We're in the fellowship with the Father and the Son, verse 3. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have not sinned, he says we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These people that came into the fellowship with the Father and the Son found themselves in a unique relationship with him. As a result of that, they wonderfully had an idea that when they did sin and wrongdoing, and they realized, whoa, this is not right to say, this is not right to do, this is not a deed that's right to plan, then they can confess that to God. Not only would he forgive them of their sins, but he would cleanse them from all unrighteousness. I want to emphasize the fact that unrighteousness as a plan in our heart and in our mind and in our talking of how to get away with it, how not to be blamed with it, how to get away with it and do others in, and that sort of thing. Those kind of things are not right of God. And notice that if we have that idea in mind, we're following the transgressions that we have in our minds. And we're doing the deeds that we have as sin, we're missing the mark as we do those deeds furtherance in our daily walk of life. We're not to be that kind of people, but we're to be the kind of people that confess those sins and have them forgiven by the Father. And also the fact that he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will help us to realize where we are, what we're saying, what we're doing. And he'll help us to realize where we're going with that. And he'll help us to realize that that's not the right thing to do. And Father, please forgive me for that. And the Father will forgive us of that as well. The thing that led us to miss the mark, He will forgive us of having those thoughts in mind and those plans in mind. What a wonderful blessing that is to be in Christ Jesus and to have that blessing as we live from day to day. Now, as we follow that way, we read more about what is said there in 1 John 1. On into chapter 2, look what he says about the fellowship that we maintain. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now he is the lawyer, he is the attorney, he is settling himself for you and for me. And he cares about us. And because of that, he has his position to be there to advocate for us. And he is, he says, the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And because we do not know that we have known Him, if we keep His commandments, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His sayings, in him reply is the love of God, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Notice that he notices the idea that there are others in the world and that they may have an idea in mind that you are a good two-shoes and that you are doing this under the guise of being faithful to God. And he says he didn't come and die for just you. He came and died for the sins of the whole world. He offers this hope to them. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Are you keeping, my friends, the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we find them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because Jesus taught them. He taught us to love. He taught us to give to the needy. He taught us to help others understand the truth. He taught us to tell the truth about His position with the Father. And in John 12, at verses 48 and 49, Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For the words I speak unto you, he says in verse 49 of John 12, are not my words only. They are the words of the Father that He gave to me to teach to you. And that is what He is doing to them. Are you teaching God's Word through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His teaching? Teaching how to talk to others, how to behave before others, how to recognize the need to shun sinful ways and sinful deeds of life. He goes on to say in 1 John 2 at verse 12, I write unto you, little children, therefore, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are serving, and the Word of God abideth in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. And he says in verse 15 of 1 John 2, and love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's the hope of the soul that you can maintain and I can maintain as we live for the Lord from day to day. Further, John gets on to the idea that the Lord someday will come again. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 27 and 28, but that anointing which we have received of him abideth in us. And ye need not to say to man, nor teach you, just as the same Father cares for me, he cares also for you. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have a confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That word ashamed means to hide one's face. It means to turn one's face away. It means to be a person who does not long for that day to occur. We won't have to be like that, John says. Little children, you abide in him, and when he shall appear, we will not be ashamed at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that is righteous is born of him. Everyone that wants to do righteous things and righteous deeds in life have the opportunity to do that as they serve the cause of Jesus himself. Moving on to 1 John chapter 3, he tells them, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, and that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Some people get themselves concerned about how they'll look at the day of judgment and after that day of judgment. How they'll look to one another, how they'll look to their former father, mother, or people in their family. John tells us in 1 John 3 and verses 1 and 2, beloved, we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear, and we do not know what we'll be like. But we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We find ourselves being people of prayer and people of life. We enjoy the relationship with the Lord and his day and his way. And we have a wonderful blessing in seeing him again, that he will someday come. He will someday appear. Now, there are those who tell us, oh no, that's false, that's not right. He will not appear, he will not be here with us. But that is hardly true, as he is describing the situation here in 1 John chapter 3. He says, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. This special relationship that John is speaking about is a special relationship with the Lord, because he says in 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not has seen him. The Father knoweth him. Little children, let not men deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. As the Lord Jesus himself is righteous, we practice his way of life that he taught us. We practice that way of life in joy that we find ourselves free from the penalties of sin and wrongdoing. He says there in 1 John 3 and in verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, the things of death and the things of hurt and harm to your life and mine. He came to put those to an end. They have no strength over us. 1 John chapter 3 and down at verse 11 says, And this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers that were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. As we love the brethren, we find a way to talk about these things and encourage one another in this way. And that's a wonderful blessing in the church of our Lord. To be people who help one another, encourage one another, seek one another, and talk about telling the truth. In verse 19 of 1 John chapter 3, he says, "And hereby know we that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, they have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we know his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." What does God want us to do when we recognize that we're thinking wrong, we're planning a wrong deed to be done, we're planning wrong words to say? We're doing that as soon as we can get away from it, we can get away from it and get away with it. How does God want us to think about that? When we say, "Lord, this is not the way to think. This is not the way to do. I'm ashamed of doing this in your presence. Please, Lord, forgive me of this way of life and this way of doing." And what did the Father say in 1 John chapter 1? He did what do? "I'll forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." That unrighteous thinking that we're doing, unrighteous planning that we're a part of, unrighteous deeds that we're planning to do, those things are forgiven of us. We're cleansed of those things. What a wonderful blessing it is to have that to happen. And the Father is the only one who can do that. And through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, he can do that. And he will do that. He promised to do that for you and for me that are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. In 1 John 1, verses 3 through 5. Once again, in 1 John chapter 3, and down at verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that judgeth is, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And therefore we have that to abide in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Holy Spirit was to come. After Jesus left the apostles, Jesus told the apostles in John chapter 16, beginning verse 13, he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Notice that the Holy Spirit is still there. And John writes about this Holy Spirit being with them and recognizing what they're doing. They're trying to serve the Lord and faithfully do so. And the Spirit which he has given us knows that we abide in him. What a blessing it is. And I want you to abide in that particular idea. It's not for someone who says, I'll say this prayer and the Lord will forgive me. That's not what he says. These people are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. These people are the people who say the prayers that they do. And as they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, they say this prayer. They say these words. They plan to get away from sin. And as they do so, what a blessing it is. 1 John chapter 4, beginning verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and that they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When we know one way, that's the way of the Father, we know the Spirit of truth. And when we see another way that is not of the Father, it is a spirit of error. He says in 1 John 4 at verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another. The love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What a blessing it is to have this idea in mind, that we love the Father, we love him and love what he did for us, and in the offering of Jesus Christ, who followed his Father's will and went forth to teach his will and proclaim his will, and these apostles went forth with the Holy Spirit to teach that will and plain that will. That's exactly what we will do even today. On to 1 John chapter 5. Once again, we see this as it is evidenced in this way. We see that in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. When we love God and keep the commandments offered by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in the New Testament of our Bible, we find a way to live Thank you for your time of study with us today. I trust that this has been a beneficial study for you today, and that you'll come and visit with us at the Crockett Church of Christ, 7 miles due west of Senatobia, toward the Tunica side, on Highway 4 West. The service this morning will be at 10:30, and we invite you to attend even tonight at 6 o'clock. Thank you for your time. This is Robert Rawson.